If this is your first Sunday here, I'm Pastor Dan, and it is a joy to be here with you. And if you're watching this online and you hear a bunch of bells in the background, it's because this is Carols and Bells Sunday. If you've never experienced carols and bells, it's just sensory overload, the entire worship service. And it's a challenge as us pastors try to figure out not to say the word love during a message. See? There you go. So I'm gonna see if y'all are falling asleep out there. So in the middle of a message, I might just drop love word right in there and see what you're doing. So there we go. Hey, we're in a four-part sermon series, the season of Advent, in which we're looking at four different characters of the Christmas narrative from Luke chapter 1 and 2. We're going to even be in Matthew chapter 1 as well. But these four characters, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph, have different actions and attitudes that illustrate the four themes of Advent that you heard this morning. All right, last week we celebrated hope. This Sunday we're celebrating love. There you go. Next Sunday's joy. The following Sunday is peace. And so I want to dive right into it this morning, and I ask you to open up your Bibles. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Luke chapter 1, if you're using the Bible in front of you, it's on page 855. And Luke, this message this morning is kind of like a continuation of last week. Now, there's two different themes, but it's a reminder that we're going to give an overview of the whole chapter 1, that God uses some incredible things happening in our lives and in different people's lives to give us his hope, that we can live in peace. So remember last week, we were introduced to two people, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Both are elderly folks, but both are descendants of Aaron, the priestly line. And the Bible says they're both righteous and blameless in the eyes of the Lord. And so what that says is they lived their life in service to God. Sure, they sinned, but their life was dedicated to serving him. But then there was this deep sadness in their lives because Zechariah and Elizabeth were without children. And to understand context, in that culture, to be without children was often a sign of judgment, that you did something wrong. And there's something, that some kind of sin that you're holding on to, and God was punishing you. Okay, no, all right? Just let me hear, no, all right? However, you got Zechariah and Elizabeth, two people on one side of the coin are righteous and blameless, and the other side, in the eyes of the world, are doing something wrong. Remember we talked about last week about how the importance of names, how important names are. And I want to review for you. Remember, Zechariah means God remembers. Again, 400 years between the Testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, where God was completely silent. No visions, no prophecies, no dreams. God didn't speak. And so from Genesis 3:15, when God promised Adam and Eve that he would send his son to save them from their sin, when they disobeyed God, kicked out of the garden, they had to live with some kind of hope. And all throughout the Old Testament, God is speaking this message of hope for God's people. And then nothing. 400 years. Nothing. God remembered, though. His wife, Elizabeth, her name means God is my oath. Not only was she going to hear about the oath that God had fulfilled through to Adam and Eve through her, but this child was going to be the forerunner of Christ, who was going to be the light of the world. But this gift that God was giving to Zechariah and Elizabeth was going to dispel the darkness that they had in their own personal lives, as well as dispel the darkness that Israel as a chosen nation was experiencing as well. So if you look at Luke chapter 1, you got the first four verses. Remember, Luke is a doctor, and he writes with great detail. And so we have all this information about the Christmas narrative thanks to Luke. Luke chapter 1 and 2 give us an incredible amount of information that we have that the other gospel writers just don't give to us. In fact, it talks about why he's writing this book, and then he gives us the backstory of John the Baptist and Jesus. So last week, we picked up about verses 5 to 17, where Zechariah was doing his job as a priest, offering incense in the holy place, and all of a sudden an angel shows up. And he's standing in the presence of the angel Gabriel, and Zechariah's like, what? The angel says, you're going to have a kid. And oh, by the name is, you're going to name him John. And what is Zechariah's response? Well, in verse 14, I believe. Well, verse 13. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, how shall this be? I love what he says. I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. Gentlemen, that's not a great way to describe your wife. I just want to tell you that right there. And that's how we left it last week, with hope for Elizabeth. Pick it up at verse 19. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until that day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. So here's Zechariah, whose name means God remembers. Zechariah forgot. I mean, isn't that typical of us as well? We know the promises, we know the stories, and we're told to have faith and not have doubt, but we forget. So Zechariah, he's asking for a sign. Man, dude, there's an angel standing next to you. What else do you need? He's rebuked by the angel Gabriel in verse 21 and 22. He's struck silent. And here's the deal, though. By his silence, Zechariah actually becomes a sign for everybody else. He walks out of the temple like, whoa, something happened. The people around the temple are like, what? Man, Zechariah has seen a vision. God remembers. And there was a season of wonder and expectation as a result of this. And then verse 23. When time of service was ended, Zechariah went to his home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. Mary shows up. Elizabeth is in seclusion for 5 months. 6 months she's visited by Mary. And she has just received word from the angel Gabriel that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. But it's kind of interesting. Look at verse 34. Look what Mary did, as did Zechariah. What did Mary do? Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Well, Zechariah said, how can this be since I'm too old? She says, this can't be possible. Zechariah gets a rebuke, Mary gets nothing. What's up with that? I don't know. Again, it's a reminder to me that God's ways are not my ways. But Mary and Elizabeth hang out together for 3 months. They fellowship together, they worship together, they do all kinds of things together. Verse 46. We'll be talking about this in 2 weeks. As Mary and Elizabeth are talking about what God is doing, as God remembers that God's keeping his promises, Mary gives a song of praise called the Magnificat. And it's a beautiful song of praise. And then she went back home. I want to pick it up this morning on verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. According to Jewish tradition, this would be also when they would give the name to the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." Now, last week we talked about what John means, that God is gracious. And what I believe is happening here is just by even the simplest thing of not being Zach Jr., God has shown us something in this situation. That John's not going to be Zechariah. He's not going to follow in his father's footsteps. He's not going to learn to do what his father did. He's not going to be a priest. There's some family there that argues with her. Verse 61, and they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by that name." What are you thinking, Elizabeth? Verse 62, and they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And Zechariah asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And it was at that moment that Zechariah's tongue was loosed, and he began to praise God. What's so cool about Luke, the praise of Zechariah is delayed by a couple verses. Verse 65, and fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." I mean, folks are talking now. They're spreading all through the hill country of Judea. And all these strange events are starting to pile up. Remember, God remembers. God's keeping his promise. Because why? God is gracious. John the baptizer, the forerunner of Christ, to prepare the people to get ready. 400 years of silence, done. And they said that for the hand of the Lord was with John. Now, does that mean that these events or his childhood? We don't know. It's kind of like the same thing. We don't really know a lot about Jesus' birth, I mean, after his birth up to age 12. But there's some kind of expectation about this guy, this John. Now, look at verse 67. Here's what I'm going to land on today with you. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied these six incredible reminders for us today. Look at what he's saying. Verse 68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." Why? "For he has visited and redeemed his people." God remembers. Verse 69. "And has raised up a horn of salvation." For who? Us. Not just for Zechariah, but for all people. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Verse 71, "that we should be saved from whom?" Our enemies. Who's our enemies? It's not each other sitting in the pew. It's not husbands and wives. It's not family members. Your spouse is not the enemy. Your kids are not the enemy. Your parents are not the enemy. Scripture tells us, don't be afraid of the one who could destroy the body physically, but the one who can destroy the soul eternally. You see, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the princes of darkness, the enemy. And you know what he loves to do? He loves to cast doubt. He loves to cause disruption. I didn't say love yet. No, I did. He loves to cause disruption among his people. And so what do? We fight among each other. And we have relationships that are, they're all messed up. And we forget who the enemy really is. And we forget this, you know, something your spouse said to you today, or your kids said today, or your parents said to you last night, they're not the enemy. They are a gift to you from God. That we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all those who hate us. The evil one hates us. And misery loves company. And he wants to experience that kind of hatred for us as well. Verse 72, show mercy promised to our fathers to remember his covenant. The oath he swore to his father Abraham, grant us that we be delivered from the hands of our enemies. You see, these six incredible proclamations are there for a purpose. They're there to give us a transformation. These six proclamations enable a life transformed by God. We have a mission statement here, helping one another live life with Jesus every day. None of us can do that by ourselves. That is not anything. I can't help you live life with Jesus. Or I can't help more people live life with Jesus. That is by the gift of the Holy Spirit. But of these six incredible proclamations, because I'm forgiven, because I'm redeemed, because God has raised up the horn of salvation, I have the privilege and opportunity to live my life for him. So what does that mean? That we being delivered from the hand of our enemies, look at verse 74b, might serve him how? Without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. We have been redeemed, we have been forgiven to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. I have no idea what that means for you. I know what it means for me. What does it mean for you to serve him without fear? What does it mean to be holy and righteous in your relationships, your friendships, your family? You got to figure that out. That's your homework. What does it mean to serve God without fear? And to live in holiness and righteousness all of our days? You see, as we live in his grace and forgiveness, these six incredible proclamations tell me that although I've been lost, I've been found. I was blind, but now I see. I live in sin, but he gives me grace. And so how can I respond to that kind of love? Hey, you're falling asleep. I get it. That I might go out and serve others and be used by God to help more people live life with Jesus every day. Luke finishes up. And he says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You'll go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. And then I love verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see, in the simplest of terms, God in his infinite love for us came to us and, using the words of our text, to rescue us from the hands of our enemies and enable to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. The title of the sermon is Love for Zechariah. But here's what I believe. It's bigger than that. It's love for you. How do I know this? You can say it with me, whatever version you want to use. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's a promise of hope, of joy, of peace, of his love for you. May God grant that to each of us for Jesus' sake. To him alone be the glory. Amen.